Later this year, Australia will take over as the chair of the G20, the grouping of the world's 20 biggest and most populous economies. Next year, and for the first time, it will host the G20 Leaders Summit in Brisbane. Canada's former Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Paul Martin, is known as the father of the G20. He believes climate change is a major global issue the G20 must deal with. He says the new government's direct action policy of dealing with climate change is not at odds with other countries setting up emissions trading schemes. I began by asking Paul Martin how the G20 evolved from a grouping of finance ministers to leaders.
The G20 finance ministers was a considerable success in terms of what we had to deal with, but it was very clear to me when I was prime minister that it should be elevated to the leaders' level, that in fact the issues were far beyond those that finance ministers should deal with. In the G8 at the time, which did not have Australia, did not have China, did not have India and the other major powers in the world, was just simply circumscribed in its capacity. And so I began to work very hard and got all of the countries involved to agree, except for the United States. They wouldn't, George Bush would not say yes, wouldn't say no. Subsequently, as you know, and I think there was pressure put on by Australia and by France as well, because of the 2008 crisis, George Bush suddenly decided it should be elevated to the leaders' level. I was out of office by that time and the meeting took place.
Paul Martin, Australia is going to assume the chair of the G20 in December this year, and it will host the next Leaders' Summit in Brisbane next November. What is the role of the chair in the lead-up to that summit?
It's very, very important. Essentially, the chair sets the tone for the meeting and often basically picks the priority issues that have to be dealt with. And all of the preparation is really left to the host country. That's why the Lowy Institute asked me to come over with some others, because Lowy has been given the responsibility of helping the Australian government prepare for it. The preparations take place within Australia, but they also take place within all the other countries of the G20. And so Australia is making a constant outreach to the rest of the world, to the rest of the G20 countries, so that they, in fact, are studying the issues that have to be dealt with, that they're trying to come up with the solutions. There'll be working groups throughout the next year until the meeting takes place, and all of that will be led by Australia.
Now, this is an organisation that accounts for the vast majority of the world's population, overwhelmingly the world's major economies. You say the G20 has to be an ongoing global steering committee. Given that, what should be the priorities for the meeting next November?
The fundamental issue that they have to deal with is how do we, with a globally integrated economy, make sure that we have sustained growth? And that requires an enormous amount of coordination and cooperation between countries. The G20 was very successful at the very beginning when the 2008 crisis hit. What I'm sure Australia is working on at the present time is how do we make sure that countries cooperate so that, in fact, the actions of one country don't spill over and hurt another.
What are the roadblocks then to achieving that?
Well, countries are still used to operating not on a global basis, but on a national basis. I mean, most of the problems we deal with are now global, whether it be climate change, whether it be migration, whether it be the way corporations operate around the world. But governments are still intensely national.
You mentioned climate change. We've just got a new government in Australia, as you know, that have promised to repeal the carbon tax that we have in Australia. This is happening at the same time that a lot of other states are bringing in mechanisms for reducing carbon, whether they be emissions trading schemes or so on. The Australian government has a policy known as direct action, which is to put money directly into means of cutting carbon emissions. Is that an effective way of achieving that goal?
Well, I think it's a very important way. This goes back to the whole question of the newer technologies, which are going to be the way in which that is done. I don't think that we should get hung up on a way of going at it. One country will do it one way, another country will do it another way. What we will get hung up on, and which is absolutely important, is that every single member at the G20 recognize that, in fact, this is a major global issue and no country can shy away from it.
Staying on that theme, one of the great conundrums, it seems to me, internationally, is this issue of carbon abatement while at the same time allowing developing countries to grow their economies. Now, the G20 has three of the largest developing countries, China, India and Brazil. How does the G20 help to solve that conundrum, allow those countries to grow but reduce carbon emissions?
Well, you put your finger on one of the reasons for the G20 and why the G8, without China, without India at the table, just simply could not deal with this kind of an issue. But the fact of the matter is that, I think we are now at the point where the reduction of poverty does not have to be done at the expense of the environment. These large population countries may not have caused climate change. That may be the industrial world. But if these large population countries continue in the same vein that we did, then they're going to make it very difficult, not just for us, but for themselves as well.
I was speaking to Canada's former Prime Minister, Paul Martin.